Jam! Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on twitch.tv/themanapool. Ooh, yeah. Where we are...
Rolls right off the tongue like you've been saying it for a while.
Right? We are streaming this live right from here. Or there. Right from...
Live from the internet.
We are live from the internet, yes. I am Chewy. And
yes, Chewy.
To my right over here is Squee.
I'm here to interrupt you.
You can tell it's Squee.
I have to pick up the slack.
You can tell it's Squee because it has his name underneath him.
That's true. It's a label.
Yeah. We are, in fact, clueless this evening because Clues had more important things to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I don't know why he needed to shave the squirrels tonight, but...
Probably for the election.
That could have something to do with it, yeah.
Yeah. Also, go vote.
Yes, go vote. If you're in if you're in the U.S., you vote in just over 2 weeks, November 6th, or you could do the early voting thing before that if you're in a state that does that.
Yes.
So for God's sake, go vote.
Democracy.
Yay!
Democratia.
Yes. So... as it says underneath Squee, this is Monday Night Magic number 628. And you'll find it eventually.
I got it early and then I just kept going anyway.
There isn't a whole lot to talk about, thank goodness.
Not really.
So this should be a nice, quickish episode.
Yeah. As opposed to last time when we caught up on 2 weeks and like seven tournaments.
Yeah, yeah. Now we've just got the one tournament, which is just three results here.
Yeah.
So I guess we should get to that, huh?
That makes sense.
Bam! So, we had the Star City Open in Dallas. Is it actually in Dallas? Was it not Star SCG Dallas-Fort Worth? Nope, it's just Dallas. Look at that. That's amazing.
Okay. No longer playing in the airport, I see.
Yeah.
Living the dream, man.
So, let's see. What do we have here? This was a modern event. How many people were in the open?
Modern open was 683.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Peter Holman won the whole... All right, mouse. There we go. Peter Holman won the whole thing with a four-color Death Shadow deck that we have seen many times.
Yeah.
Check out that super sweet Tarmogoyf tech. Two Tarfire in the main. What?
That's how you know.
Because tribal.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me get all these open to give them like a quick glance. In second place, we have Ian Thorne playing Dredge. Which looks like a normal Dredge deck. In third place, Alec Jones is running Dredge.
Yeah.
Which looks oddly similar. In fourth place, Tannen Grace was running Mono Green Tron. Yep. Looks like Mono Green Tron.
Can you feel the wonders of non-rotating formats?
Yes. Fifth place, Zansayed. I really need to learn how to say his name. Is running Humans. Let's see.
Gaddick Teague.
This is...
he's a short Human.
In the board. I was like, I don't see a Gaddick Teague. Yeah. This is the kind without the, the one that says you play it and it deals damage equal to the number of humans you control.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No singleton or any of those. There is a Knight of Autumn over in the board, though.
There are three of them.
Whoo!
Yeah, I was just looking at that. Also not a Human, but you know what?
But, yeah. It's sure. So good, it doesn't really matter. I wonder if that's in the board specifically for the artifact enchantment removal.
I mean,
probably.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, blow up an artifact or enchantment, have a 2/1 is better than a naturalize effect that doesn't leave a 2/1.
And against an aggro deck, gaining 4 life and putting down a blocker is not the worst option to have around. I mean, it's also aggro enough that it probably doesn't need to, but again, it's the benefit of having a choose 1 effect on an already okay utility card.
Yeah, yeah. Donovan Baden says that I pronounce it Saeed. Is that right? Okay.
Could be.
So, Dredge had Creeping Chill? Wait, really?
Which one?
I don't know.
Maybe both. They look pretty similar. Oh, yeah, there's four Creeping Chill in the second place one.
I don't know this card. Three and a black sorcery, three damage to each opponent, you gain three life. When it's put into your graveyard from the library, you may exile it, and if you do, it essentially casts. Ah! Look at that!
Oh. Yeah,
in both decks.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's free.
I completely missed that. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's pretty much free.
Who said that? That was nice. Zeagles. Thanks, buddy.
Well done.
Okay.
Yeah, they both got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so that's the humans deck, though, going back to fifth place. Boom! Sixth place, Kevin Ambler is running also humans. Oh, with Tajik, Legion's Edge, in the main. Check that out. Damn. Two of them. I guess that makes sense in this deck, though.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I like the variety of humans decks.
I like the variety of humans as well. Also has the Knight of Autumn in the board. Seems to be pretty normal. I want to say pretty standard, but you can't because it's modern.
Pretty non-rotating of them.
Let's see here. In that was six, right? Yeah, in seventh place, we've got Darius Zilman, one of those, running more different humans. This is more like the fifth place deck. Yep,
Knight of Autumn seems to just be living with the humans now.
I mean, it makes
perfect
sense.
It's a good place to be. It's just interesting.
And then rounding out the top eight, Thomas Berry is running Infect because this is a person that likes to eat lunch.
I respect that.
Yeah.
It's like you want to run an aggro deck, but you don't want to deal with life gain. Infect.
Yeah, and there's really nothing fancy here.
No.
Seems good.
It's a combo deck that attacks.
Yes, it is. So let's see. Rounding out some more, we've got an Ironworks in ninth. Gruul Land Destruction. What is this? Bloodbraid Elf, Inferno Titan, Storm Breath, Tireless Tracker. It's got six. Okay, it's got Molten Rain and Stone Rain, so it's a Land Destruction deck.
I mean, the Blood Moons probably help for disruption, too.
Yeah, that's true. But it's modern, so of course it's got Blood Moons.
I mean, it's running red. Might as well.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. All right. More Dredge.
Oh, that's funny, though. Like, what? If you're screwing with their lands, then that Stormbreath Dragon's going to bite hard.
Oh, that's sick.
I like that. Very nice.
That's a nice touch.
It's like, you didn't realize you were fighting a Rack deck in disguise, did you?
Let's see. We got more Dredge, more Storm, more Dredge. Take a look at one of these. Yeah, still. I wonder if Creeping Chill just gives it that much more oomph.
I mean, really free thing to put in there.
Yeah, it's a free Lightning Helix.
I accept.
But I wonder if that ups its win percentage just enough, and that's why we're seeing so many more than usual here. Because the rest of the deck looks, to the untrained eye, perfectly normal.
Your sound went away for.
So did yours. Hello?
Your sound went away, or my sound went away.
Yeah, our Discord connection just sort of crapped itself.
Well, as long as they heard you, then life is great. Carry on.
That was weird. But yeah, I wonder if that's the reason we're seeing more Dredge. Let's see here. Where was I? More Dredge, another Infect, more humans. Is it spells? I don't know, let's look. Arclight Phoenix. Holy crap. In 16th place by Evart Moen. Moen? Moen? Mohan? Something like that.
You guys have a cool name.
What was that? Pinball Witch threw a bit. And said, it is spelled. Oh my god.
Well, there's the answer.
So,
you asked, apparently.
So, four Arclight Phoenix. This is new from Guilds. Four mana, 3/2 with Flying and Haste. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you've cast three or more instant and sorcery spells this turn, return it to the from the graveyard to the battlefield. And it has haste, so you immediately, you know, mark it as an attacker. Dang. And then Bedlam Reveler, and then Thing in the Ice, and then Flippy Jace. Yeah, that all makes sense. What have we got? Fiery Temper, Is It Charm, Lightning Bolt, Mana Morphos, Thought Scour, Faithless Visions, Insult to Injury, the Aftermath card, and Serum Visions. Wow.
That's Faithless Looting, by the way.
What did I say?
You said Faithless Visions, which sounds like an amazing mastery.
Sorry, Faithless Looting. Excuse me. This is another combo deck that attacks.
Yeah.
This is really cool, actually.
What happens when you put red in it?
Like, seriously, this is neat.
I like the Alpine Moons instead of Blood Moons, too.
Yeah. Okay, then. So that's cool. What else do we have? More dredge. Bant Spirits, Ironworks again. Two of those. Bant Company, Bant Spirits, Azorius Control. Nothing really new there. Hollow One, Mono Green Devotion, more humans, Mono Green Tron, and another Blue Eye Control. Okay. Let's check the Bant Spirits. Okay, that all looks normal. What?
The last card I expected to see in Mono Green Devotion was Blood Moon.
That.
I mean, I get it. I just didn't expect it.
Yeah, this Devotion deck is, that's pretty sweet, too. Good lord, look at all these Planeswalkers.
Why not?
Original Garrick, Primal Hunter Garrick, Nissa Vital Force, Nissa Voice of Zendikar. Damn!
Yeah.
Sick. Okay, then.
Rukhthar can come, too.
Yeah, he can, because he's awesome.
Oof, oof. That's just fun looking.
It is. So that was the Modern Open. Nice. So how about the Modern Classic? What do we have there, Mr. Squee?
Modern Classic had 143 people.
It's pretty average for a Modern Classic. So Drake Sasser took down the whole thing with Humans again. Do 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 do. Yep, looks relatively normal. We've got Javier Balderamos playing Scred Red. Whoo, haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
Oh my god, look at this deck. This deck makes me so happy. Storm Breath Dragon, Hazoret the Pervert. Pia and Karen Nalar, Squee Goblin Nabob. Hey, that's where you were this weekend.
What up? I'm in the board, too.
I couldn't get a hold of you, that's why. Chandra Flamecaller, Chandra Torch of Defiance, Koth of the Hammer, and then Snow Covered Mountain and Scrying Sheets. And of course, you know, Scred. You can't forget that one. That's important.
As you would hope.
Yeah, this is freaking sick, dude. This makes me happy beyond all reason.
It is fun.
How do you not just lose in the first couple turns to the super aggro? I guess you hope to draw Scred and some Lightning Bolt.
Your entire hope is to be more aggro.
But you can't. You can't do anything until turn three, and that's Squee.
Yeah.
So you've got like Scred and Lightning Bolt as your early removal. Anger of the Gods to... Oh, you've got Anger of the Gods on three. Okay.
Anger of the Gods, if they have stuff. Blood Moon, if they don't.
Yeah. And then on turn four, you start wrecking their face with Planeswalkers and terrifying creatures. Okay, that makes more sense. Bam! In third place, we've got Jacob Koshak running Grixis Whirr. This is the Whirr of Invention.
Yeah.
Crazy weird combo deck. Yep. That we talked about, I think, last week. Garrick Alford running Azorius Control. Complete with the one wall of omens, just because. Yep, okay. Nice and normal.
Yeah.
Jody Keith in fifth is also running Grixis Whirr. Bam. Gabriel Nicholas in sixth place is running Humans again. Wow, this one actually has both flavors of Thalia in it. Oh, Lieutenant. Whew. Serious Thalia. Oh, Kessig Malcontents. That's the one. As the one of deal damage equal to the number of humans you control.
Yeah.
I can never remember the name of it. So let's see. Seventh place, Eric Hawkins is running Amulet Titan. Which
looks pretty normal.
Looks like Amulet Titan. Yeah. Seems good. Check out that old school fire spout. Oh, man. Look at that. Anyway. And in eighth place, Nathan Blackman is running Eldrazi Tron. Like you do.
Yeah.
Alright then. So running through the rest of the top 16, we've got a mono white martyr in ninth. Are you serious? Yup.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
This isn't even... No, wait, that's... what am I thinking of? Soul Sisters. Never mind, that's something else.
Yeah, that's something else.
Wrong mono white tech that...
The game's a ridiculous.
The game's a lot of life, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's close. It's got the proclamation and all of that. But yeah. Emeria, jeez.
Okay. I like the mix of Day of Judgment and Wrath of God in the same deck.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just in case.
I think that's probably to get around instances of one of them being locked down by name.
Yeah.
Because there's not really much of a reason to run Day of Judgment in a world of Wrath of God unless your own creatures have regenerate. I don't think they do in this.
No.
So.
So that's new. Oh, Merfolk in 10th. Look at that. These, the Blue Goblins.
Yeah.
Buh. Jund in 11th. Anything new in Jund? Nope. Oh, Assassin's Trophy.
Yeah, that's been floating around in a lot of these things.
Yeah, that makes sense. Skred Dragons in 12th. What is...
Risk Factor.
Avaricious Dragon. Huh. And Risk Factor, which
that's a funny
is
combination.
New Browbeat. Glorybringer, Simeon Spirit Guide, Stormbreath Dragon, Thundermaw Hellkite. Woo-hoo-hoo! And then Chandra Torch of Defiance and Sarkon Fireblood. Jeez!
Yeah, it knows what it wants to do.
And then 20 Snow-Covered Mountain, 2 Cavern of Souls, 2 Scrying Sheets, with 4 Skred. Wow.
I also appreciate the Crater Maker in the board.
Hey, look at that! Dude, this is nuts.
Yeah.
I like it. Let's see, we've got Burn in 13th, Bant Spirits, Humans, Selesnya Aggro. Avatar of the Resolute, Dryad Militant, Experiment 1, Colonian Tusker. Okay, this is starting to look good. Narnim Renegade, yep. Scavenging Ooze, Steel Leaf Champion, Strangleroot Geist. Holy crap, it's like every ridiculous 1, 2, or 3 drop printed in recent memory. With Rancor, Aspect, Hydra, and Vines of Vastwood.
This is giving me flashbacks to lots of really frustrating drafts.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really good.
Throw in some Rancor and call it a day.
Just straight up, just drop a bunch of dudes and turn them sideways.
Oh, that Aspect of Hydra's gonna hurt.
Yeah, it is. With things like Strangleroot Geist and Steel Leaf Champion. Oh, and the Tusker. Oh my god.
It's probably adding like 4 to 6 on whatever it hits.
Oh, easy.
Like, that's pretty solid.
The Avatar has Trample.
You think sometimes people get the math wrong because they forget that Rancor also contributes to that devotion?
Not if they know what they're doing.
No, but because devotion doesn't come up as often in this kind of context, I can see that being a thing that someone falls out of habit of exactly once, and it matters.
And it when it matters, yeah.
That's fun.
Do-do-do-do-do. And yes, I did say Hazoret the Pervert.
Hazoret the Prevert.
Sorry, the Prevert.
Okay, well, that's modern for you.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's go on to the Standard Classic.
Yep.
How many people were playing Standard?
48.
What?
148.
Oh, okay. All I heard was 48. I'm like, no.
That would be unfortunate. Actually.
All right.
Yeah, 148. I was double checking because that made me question, like, wait, what? No, it's 148. Check.
Yeah, there were only 48 check. People. What?
Numbers.
All right,
I mean,
so...
I'm checking because Standard doesn't usually have more than Modern lately.
That is a good point. All right, so now we've got... let me move chat over here so I can see you guys.
Relatively new stuff.
So we've got Maxwell Jones winning with Golgari Midrange.
Doom Whisperer.
Man, Doom Whisperer. The Golgari Find Broker. Jade Light Ranger, Llanowar Elves, Branch Walker, Chupacabra, Seeker Squire, Wild Growth Walker. Yeah. Wow, 3 Vivian Reed and 3 Vreska Relic Seeker. And then 2 Assassin's Trophy and 2 Find Finality. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Checks out.
Yeah, I can't even question this.
Got a pretty clean mana base, too.
Forest Swamp, Tomb Cemetery.
Yeah, it's like our land is here to make colors, the end.
Yeah, all
Such
of these...
Such a nice change after looking at all those modern lists.
All of these split cards, something about the way that the Star City Games website makes these, it only ever shows the first of the two thingies, names.
I appreciate what this is going to do to auto card readers forever. Only registers the find part.
I mean, it says find finality on like the Wizards website, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, on the Watcher site that works, but yeah. Like, if their site is having trouble rendering the second half of that card name, and it has auto card turned on, then funny things will happen. It's find comes up a lot.
But I think it's probably because so many of these sites are using the same, like, underlying card finder thing. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Star City uses, if not the same one, then a very similar one to, like, what I use on themanapool.com.
Yeah.
Are you guys hearing very strange noises every once in a while? Wait. Ah! Murder. Okay. I thought it was something coming through my headset after I talk, but apparently not. Is there anything going on your end that you hope we can't hear?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
So if you want a Halloween horror movie concept, imagine monsters that only other people can hear through your internet calls and you can't hear.
Dun, dun, dun.
Creepy.
Anyway, so that's the Golgar midrange deck. And first, second place, James Sung is running a mono-red aggro deck. Direfleet Daredevil, Dismissive Pyromancer, wow. Cool. Chain Whirler, Legion Warboss, yep, Rekindling Phoenix, Runaway Steamkin, Siege Gang Commander, Varix Bladewing, whoa.
Bam.
And then Sarkon Fireblood. Also Experimental Frenzy, Lightning Strike, Shivan Fire, Shock and Lava Coil. Wow. That's a lot of little one-shot burn.
Yeah. Lightning Mare.
Yeah. And the Banefire in the board, too. Whew! Okay, then. So that, and Clues would love the mana base of 24 mountains.
That is pretty clean. That's one for every hour of the day that Clues wants a mountain.
He's not wrong.
He's actually saving one bitterly from this spring so that he can get that mountain back into play in a few weeks when Daylight Savings Time ends.
Oh, and wait a minute.
Swearing every minute of it.
MTG Rude in the chat says, I went 5-5 against Green Black. I'm the green white guy. Wait, which green white guy? From, in Modern? Are you, I don't know how long that's been there.
Like the Celestia aggro?
Maybe.
It's the only green white deck I can think of, unless it's one of the Humans.
Unless there's one here we haven't gotten to yet, but I don't see one.
No. We will find out when the chat catches up.
Hmm. Okay.
Either way, congratulations on rocking far enough for us to even talk about it.
Unless he meant he's a green-white player. Like, I'm the green-white guy. Sort of like Dirk is the green-blue guy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll keep an eye on chat. Boom. So, in third place, Alex Hahn is running Boros Midrange. This is the deck we saw last week, right? Sort of. There's the Resplendent Angel. Tecatli Honor Guard. I don't think that was here before.
No, that's new.
I'm hearing that strange sound again. Weird.
Spooky.
Hey, I'm gonna try something. Okay, maybe that'll fix it.
Hopefully.
By the way, if any of you ever have issues with Discord, I found that fixes the vast majority of issues. Just hang up and call back.
I mean, it's the turning it off and on again of Discord.
Oh, okay. This is the guy that got 14th. Awesome.
Oh, cool. Well, then we'll talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, we will. So anyway, so in third place, we've got Alex Hahn with the Tecatli Honor Guard, which, in the main, 4 of them. Wow. I guess there's a lot of reasons to do that in Standard right now. It's very odd to see 4 of them in the main in a I guess it's a mid-range deck, so,
I mean, that's kind of the point of most of the green cards that people actually play.
Yeah, yeah. But then we've got Aurelia and Lyra, of course, and an Ajani, hang on, let me do that again. An Ajani Adversary of Tyrants. Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, this is pretty much the deck we've seen already, except for this Tecatli, which is, whoa. Whoa, there's a Hwatli Warrior Poet in the board. What?
So, are you allowed to play a Justice Strike without following up with quit hitting yourself?
I don't
know the floor rules for that, and I wish clues were here to tell me.
Hmm, interesting.
Hmm. We'll have to rely on the listener.
Yeah, we'll have to ask. In fourth place, we've got Justin Rouse running Dimir Control. Blood Operative, Doom Whisperer, Dream Eater, Night Vale Predator. Who? Donovan Bain says, this is pretty much the only creature-based deck in Standard that doesn't have any when this enters the battlefield creatures. Very true. The last one. I mean, just in this deck, we've got Blood Operative, Dream Eater, and those are good enough.
the nature of current Magic design is, like, as they've slowly pushed creatures to be the forefront of Magic again, is to give most of the relevant playable ones enter the battlefield effects because people want to get value out of it even if it dies immediately. That's just what people run in their decks. So it's a perfectly valid avenue to take.
I mean, even think of the Chupacabra is the first thing that jumps to mind. I'm allergic to Chupacabras, excuse me.
Oh, man, yeah, you gotta... Actually, that's probably doing you a favor if you're aware that they're present.
Yeah, yeah, it's kept me alive this long.
Hydro goats.
We got new neighbors in an apartment nearby. I think they might have one with them.
Oh.
Huh. Anyway, so yeah, this is the Dimir Control deck. I'm pretty sure we've seen this before last week.
Timely disinformation campaign.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is election season, so.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. In fifth place, Carson Lewis is running Boros Angels. Two Tecatli Honor Guard in the main. Two in the board. Yep.
Honorary Angel.
Dylan Kirkpatrick in six is running Esper Control. Excuse me. Instead of last week's single Chromium, there's a Chromium and a Dream Eater in this deck.
Thank you.
Which makes sense. All right. Seventh place, Noah Blanchard is running Golgari Midrange. This is slightly different. It's got Glowspore Shaman. And Molder Hulk, and Plague Crafter, and Stitcher Supplier, Thrashing Bronto Dave, and Izoni Thousand-Eyed, and Necrotic Wound. Holy crap.
I think I really appreciate how much of this deck is uncommons.
Like, damn near all? Yeah.
Like, you could actually make this deck, you know, minus some of the mana base probably, without much effort at all. This is the kind of stuff that would be a pre-con in some cases. I don't even think it has any mythics in it. And now I'm checking to back that up. Like, not counting the sideboard.
Yeah, there's two in the sideboard, but...
Like, there's plenty in the sideboard, but, like, in the main deck.
Nope, not a one.
That's nice. That's satisfying.
Yeah.
Good job, Golgari.
And rounding out the top eight, Jet Pinkard is running a more different Golgari midrange deck with Carnage Tyrant and Midnight Reaper.
Yeah.
And the Assassin's Trophy and Cast Down Vraska's Contempt. Good lord. Oh, and Karn, Vivian Reed, and Vraska Relic Seeker.
Yeah, this is the money version of the deck.
Right? MTG Rude said, this guy's deck was awesome to watch, but I think he's on a slight delay, so I think he meant the last one, the 7th place
Probably.
Deck.
Probably.
So there you go.
Yeah.
That's your top 8. Let's see here. Checking out... The rest of the top 16, we've got an Abzan mid. You know, let me just open all of these. I'm going to want to look at them, right?
Probably.
There we go. Okay, so we've got Abzan midrange in 9th with Jade Light Ranger, Knight of Autumn, Crawl Harpooner. Man, that thing is a beast in limited. The Branch Walker, the Wild Growth Walker, and Tristani Discordant. Oh! Ixalan's Binding, Path of Discovery. Yeah. March of the Multitudes, the Immortal Sun, and Find Finality. Jesus. This deck does not screw around.
No.
All right. We've got another Golgari midrange in 10th. Carnage Tyrant, Doom Whisperer, Druid of the Cowl. What else is there? 10th District Guard. Whoa. Interesting. 10th District Guard. When it enters the battlefield, target creature gets +0/+1 until end of turn, and it's a 2/2 for 2. That one just stands out as what?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
And then the Planeswalkers are 2 Vivian Reed, 3 Vraska Relic Seeker, and 1 Vraska Golgari Queen. Ooh, look at her. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That can't be right. Because this is totally just draft chaff.
Yeah, like, this isn't even something you pick. This is something that wheels, and you're like, I guess I'm in white.
I mean, it's a 2/2 for 2. That's all right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it wheels. Like, you don't pick it. It just happens to be there.
Oh, so when you said wheel, my brain heard last pick. And I'm like, nah.
No, wheel just means it's, like,
yeah,
9th through 14th pick.
Yeah. So what would this be? Because that's even a white card, so that doesn't even make sense. Which my brain just...
Yeah.
Just made up. Considering there are 0 white sources in this deck. So yeah, that's got to be some kind of mistake.
I don't know.
22... Okay, that's 30... Yeah, it's 40 cards. So that's got to be something else. It's on the MTG Goldfish version of the deck as well. Weird.
Pairing against the other mid-range decks to see if something has a similar name.
Oh, that's a good idea.
But I'm guessing it's more of a copy-paste error. Although, I don't know why you'd be copying that, so maybe not. That would imply it was in someone's deck.
Oh, wait, Donovan Bain just said, District Guide. Oh, it's 10th District... Wait, or is it just District Guide? Yeah, it's totally District Guide.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that makes more sense. So, just some sort of issue. Thank you, Donovan Bain. This is why this is why we do this live now, so chat can do all this for us.
Well, we don't have to wait till Twitter tells us that we're stupid 500 times.
Yeah.
Now they only do it 400 times.
It is a plus. All right, in 11th we've got another mono red aggro deck. This one's also different. This is more of a Wizards version. Fanacle Firebrand, yeah. Gitu Lava Runner, Chain Whirler, Phoenix. That's Rekindling, Steamkin, Vaishino Pyromancer, Experimental Frenzy again, Risk Factor, Wizard's Lightning, yeah, Lightning Strike and Shock, 22 now, Mountain.
This one doesn't have enough mountains to get clues through the day, but it's still pretty good.
I mean, he's got to sleep sometime, so.
Does he? I don't know if that's true.
Well, he needs to sleep sometime.
He should.
Yeah.
He should.
In 12th place, 12th place? Hang on. In 12th place, we've got a standard version of Izzet Spells with Arclight Phoenix and Goblin Electromancer, which I completely forgot was reprinted. Okay, what do we have? Blink of an Eye, Ionize, Lightning Strike, Mission Briefing, Opt, Radical Idea. What's Radical? Draw a card with Jumpstart. Right. Shock, Search for Azkanta, Beacon Bolt. What? Oh, I guess in this deck. Yeah, that's kind of brilliant.
Yeah, makes sense.
Chart a Course and Lava Coil. All right. That's, yeah. Wow. And that took 12th. What's in the board? Expansion Explosion, Fiery Cannonade, Negate, Ryle, Is it Viceroy, Banefire, another Beacon Bolt and Lava Coil, and a Disdainful Stroke. Huh.
Yeah.
No Wee Dragonauts? Oh god, were Wee Dragonauts reprinted too?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
That would probably do really well here. But I guess it goes against the goal of, you know, Phoenix plus a bunch of spells.
Like, you assume that he tested it, because it does seem like a no-brainer, and it just wasn't working.
I suspect that they probably ran afoul of being fragile, whereas the spells are not.
Yeah.
You only have to close so much distance here.
13th, we've got another Golgari mid-range deck. Let's see. Fine Broker, Jade Light Ranger, Harpooner. That's really funny. Llanowar, Branch Walker, Plague Crafter, Chupacabra, Izareth the Awakener. No way. Yeah, that makes sense. It's only Thousand Eyed and a Jozu Vess. What? Okay.
That's fun.
Yeah, so the black green decks, I wonder if this is going to be like the Abzan of old, where just by changing, you know, 4 cards in the deck, or 4 card names, not necessarily just 4 cards. I wonder if that would drastically alter not only how the deck plays, but the pace at which it does things.
I mean, I think this is like when we had a shell of good low-cost green cards back in, what was it called? like Theros era, where just like a bunch of the decks were, we run the same like package of like, you know, 12 low drops so that your mana is good. And then after that, it was whatever you thought would be good in the meta.
Yeah.
We're probably running into one of those.
Yeah, you play the shell of the standard cards, the Fine Broker, the Llanowar Elves, the Branch Walker, the Jadelight Ranger.
You run your consistency cards, and then you do whatever else you want to do in those colors.
Yeah, and then the rest is season to taste. I really like, especially early in the meta.
Yeah.
You get a lot of that, where we've had, God, I don't know, Golgari midrange. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in this tournament, and all of them have been at least like 2 or 3 cards different.
Yeah, it's not really stabilized yet.
Yeah, eventually someone will figure out like the ideal build, and there will be fewer variations. Probably
gonna probably coincide with when the rest of the format settles in too. Like, I think right now people are building what they think are going to build, what they think other people are going to run. Like, once we get through a Pro Tour or something really high profile, then they'll be like, okay, that's what I got to beat, and that'll shape it.
Yeah.
For right now, I appreciate the variety.
I do, yeah. It's really tripping me out seeing this Crawl Harpooner show up in the main deck on some of these.
I like Bells and Luck appearing in the board.
Oh my god, I didn't... What? Hey, buddy!
Yeah, he's all like, I am Danzig. And it's funny.
He is Danzig. It is funny.
Good time.
And he's got a fungal infection.
He is Danzig. It is funny.
All right, so in 14th place, we've got Selesnya Tokens by Adam Kerman. Hey, that's who's in our chat.
That sounds right. Based on all the evidence of being told that directly by him.
Yeah. But, I mean,
way to be one of the people whose last name we can actually pronounce in the chat.
I mean, if you were going to make it up, you wouldn't say, hey, I finished 14th. You'd be like, yeah, I finished 2nd, you know, or something like that, so...
Yeah.
So let's see. What does he got here? District Guide, Thorn Lieutenant, Venerated Loxodon. Yep, yep. Imara, Shalai, Trastani Discordant. Seems good. Ooh, check out the Arch of Araska. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Conclave Tribunal. Yep, Dawn of Hope. Oh, okay, yeah. Had to read the card, because not a card that jumps out at me. History of Benalia, March of the Multitudes, Legions Landing. Oh, my neck. Flower Flourish. Oh, and Sapling Migration. Nice.
You got a properly labeled district guide up in there.
Yeah. The board is where things get interesting, he says. What do we have? We've got Night of Autumn, because duh.
Yeah.
Tendershoot Dryad. Oh.
Sap, sap.
That's... And buff the saps.
City's Blessing.
Yeah, more Dawn of Hope. Make a Stand. Settle the Wreckage, Lyra, Whatley, Radiant Champion. Is it bad that I already forgot that Whatley got two different Planeswalkers? Not counting the Planeswalker deck versions? Yeah.
You know, Whatley do what Whatley do.
She's pretty sick in a token deck, though. Just look at that first ability. Jesus.
Good job.
Loyalty counter on Whatley for each creature you control. And her minus one is also kind of stupid. In this deck. So yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a fair point about Settle the Wreckage being a surprise in a token deck. I would not have expected that.
No, no, not at all. And then one Vivian Rude.
I like it though.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well done, MTG Rude. You got to 110 life in a game against Green Black.
The question is, did you win or did they just lose?
Oh my god.
What'd you eat for lunch?
He conceded. Yeah.
That's the answer.
Oh, that's great. Alright. I like it. Well done, sir.
Once you break 100 life, that's when you pull out a sandwich just to let them know.
Yeah, you just start eating. You don't even look at the board. Just lean back.
You're like, I got time. That's great. Oh, and you have 40 attackers. That's also great.
That is pretty good, yeah. 40 seems like a good number of things attacking.
That's how you bring down an Elder Dragon.
All right, 15th place, we've got...
Lock and record for days.
Oh, okay, 15th place, we've got another Mono Red aggro deck. This is another one on the the wizard side of things.
Yep.
Yep. And then another very similar deck in 16th, another mono red aggro with wizards.
Yeah. I appreciate how the number of mountains is varying to let you know the speed of the deck.
Yeah.
Amulet of Safekeeping.
What?
It's on the board.
I don't even know what that does. Whenever you become the target of a spell or ability an opponent controls, counter that spell or ability unless its controller pays one. Oh, creature tokens get -1/-0. Okay.
Yeah.
Both of those are useful. You're the only person with four marches in the top 16.
March of the Multitudes.
Oh, okay. I was like, well, it's like March of the Machines? That's not it. What are you talking about? MTG Rude said that this mono red deck beat him in the Swiss.
All right, then.
Did it involve any of safekeeping? Because I can see that being a problem for
you. Yeah, I can see that being a problem.
All right, then. So that was the Standard Open.
Yeah, and thus that was the SCG event.
Yep. So, boom.
Take that, tournaments.
Okay, let's see here. What is next? Oh, yeah, this thing that we haven't talked about yet. It's been in the show notes for like a month now. The Guilds of Ravnica Guild Kits are a thing. And hey, they come out November 2nd.
November dose.
And
that is a week from the coming Friday.
Yes. So these are precons that are built from cards from these five guilds from throughout the guild's history. So, for instance, in the Dimir deck, you've got Lazav from Return to Ravnica, and you've got Etrada the Silencer from Guilds of Ravnica, but then you've also got Dimir Doppelganger, who I'm pretty sure is from original Ravnica. I'm pretty sure.
That sounds right.
Oh, and Dimir Guildmage, who I know is from original Ravnica. So, just all kinds of Ravnica stuff.
I'll start your signet.
That is Dimir-ish. And the same goes for Izzet, and Golgari, and Boros, and Selesnya.
Mm-hmm.
And they get this, I guess there's just the one? I guess there's just the one alternate art card in each one. Etrada gets alternate art, Niv-Mizzet the Fireman, Izzoni Thousand-Eyed, but then Aurelia Warleader, the previous version of Aurelia, and Tristani Selesnya's voice, the previous version of Tristani.
Yeah.
So, neat. I guess that's the previous version of Niv-Mizzet, too. Wait, Firemind?
Yeah, that's the original one, because the flavor text says Niv-Mizzet if you turn it sideways.
Right. What was the second Niv-Mizzet called, then?
Dracogenous.
Right. Dracogenous. Like you do.
I'm kind of hoping that when we get to the other set and Gruul gets a turn at this, we get to have Borborygmos enraged and Borborygmos tired of your crap.
That, yeah. Borborygmos giving up and drinking.
Borborygmos could not be bothered to take your call, so here's kind of Bigmos.
So yeah, these are really neat, and they've got just all kinds of good cards from the history of each guild, especially if you're looking to pick up stuff for, I don't know, like a commander deck maybe, because a lot of these are singletons.
Yeah, these are honestly a lot of the cards that appeared in the original commander decks before it was a supported product.
Yeah. Tulsimer Wolfblood. Venerated Loxodon. Loxodon Hierarch. Remember when he was all over the place? Oh my god, this card was insane. Yeah. So yeah, just all kinds of good stuff. Check them out. They come out November 2nd. Okay?
Yeah. If you've ever wanted a reason to watch live and see the chat, they are coming up with a number of variations of Borborygmos that are not quite enraged. So
mildly perturbed. Not mad, just disappointed. Borborygmos Cyclogenius.
Borborygmos tired of... missing out on if you're just listening.
Borborygmos tired of your crap sounds like an episode name. It does.
It could be. Possible.
By the way, are you writing things down in the...
Some of them.
Okay, hang on.
Borborygmos, am disappointed.
Well, what was the one from earlier? He is dancing. Okay.
There you go.
Okay, so that's the Guilds of Ravnica Guild Kits. Check those out. Now.
Yeah.
Now we get some... a follow-up to a story from last week. Remember, last week we talked about Dan Lanthier, I don't know how you say it, who was doing the blatant, miserable cheat on camera at a shop.
Yeah, the guy whose invitational card is now Cheaty Face.
And he sent a reply to Wizards that says, let's see here. Like, the action itself and subsequent misinformation stand in complete defiance not only to Magic Tournament policy, but my past accomplishments honestly earned and the moral code I hold for myself. Sure, I can't justify my actions, deeply remorseful, blah, blah, blah. Cheating has no place in Magic. I am not the first player to ever break the rules of the game, and I most certainly will not be the last. As many have noted in wake of this and past events, playing competitive Magic is a privilege, not a right. Having squandered that privilege, I ask that beginning with me, and going forward, that the penalty be permanent suspension from organized Magic. My hope is that this provides a strong deterrent for anyone in a similar position to mine to be tempted and make the same mistake, resulting in a healthier Magic experience for everybody. So, damn.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to react to.
Now, what do you mean?
Oh, just the... like, on the one hand, it's like, yay for responsibility. On the other hand, it's like, complete acknowledgement that, yes, I was willfully cheating, and now I think it's wrong. Like, that's just weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was the cheating, then the lying about it, then the getting caught lying and lying some more.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it could be, let's be realistic, this could just be damage control of, all right, I have to stop playing Magic now, so let's try to get some brownie points back.
Could be.
Which is fine. I can't really blame him for that.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's neat to see someone in this position to just go, you know what? Yes, if you see people willfully cheating, you should just get rid of them.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure if I agree with that unless it's like a... I mean, like, his cheat on camera was obviously blatant. There's no way that was an accident or a mistake or anything like that. But I just don't want to hit the person got a DQ for cheating and then was permanently banned when he wasn't actually cheating. He's just an idiot.
Right.
And not the cheating kind of idiot. You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. But I'm all for it for certain cases.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In the absence of more updates or responses from WotC, that's pretty much all we have to say there.
Pretty much, yeah. Now, this was shared on Twitter by Dan Fournier, but this is Dan Lanthier.
Yeah.
They're different people. if you look at the show notes for last week's episode, you can find the... could someone grab him either the show notes for last week or the link to the clip that's in the show notes? You guys? That's the one. Thank you, Witch.
Yeah.
Well, she told him what it was. Anyway, moving on. More depressing news. As reported by Hipsters of the Coast, Todd Stevens was allegedly fired from Star City Games for allegedly sexually harassing women. So he's been fired from Star City, suspended from Star City open events for 3 years. He has left the Ponder podcast. He's no longer a member of Team BCW. So, yeah, apparently some... there's that sound again. It's very strange.
Is it an airplane?
No. I think it's some sort of weird audio artifact thing.
Oh, gotcha. It's a ghost. Okay.
Like you could hear it right after the word thing. Ah, ah. I still don't think it's me. Anyway.
Weird.
So, yeah, the... wait, let me refresh this in case anything's been added. Ahem, did I actually hit refresh? I did. It refreshed quickly. Okay. But, yeah, some... according to a source familiar with the situation... blah, 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 blah. Multiple sources. A group of women reported his behavior to Star City Games 2 weeks ago. They alleged that he had acted inappropriately towards them in at least 4 instances while he was drinking at parties after Magic events, and Star City promptly jumped on it, took their allegations seriously, and they haven't commented to Hipsters of the Coast about this, but their sources claim that he has been fired, so...
Yeah.
That's the facts, Jack. As we have them thus far.
That has happened, as reported on the internet.
Yep. So that's depressing, but if true, I am very glad of Star City's prompt and what's the word I'm looking for? Some kind of response.
Prompt and appropriate response to negative behavior unbefitting someone they want to represent them.
Yeah, there you go. Well worded, sir. You should.
I do this for a living.
All right, so moving on. Wizards of the Coast did Extra Life again this year. This popped up on Tuesday after we recorded and happened this weekend. So they didn't get any notice from us, but they did some stream. You can... Let's see. Give to our cause, join our team, or support an individual campaign. But I don't know if any of that's still going. I think you can still buy swag and get with Niv-Mizzet on it and get some... or give back that way because all the proceeds go to Extra Life.
Yeah, it looks like it's still there when I pull up a shop.
Ah, okay, cool.
Pre-order next to a lot of things, so I guess you'll get it when they run it.
And then also the D&D team is going to be streaming on the official Extra Life game day Saturday, November 3rd from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So if you're into that sort of thing, check out twitch.tv/D&D. All week long, culminating at Gamehole Con 2018. Gamehole Con.
Yeah, I think you saw my face react to that name because I hadn't read it out loud. Like, huh. I mean, you do you, buddy.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the thing.
We're Rickmost the Confused.
Right? So that's the thing that has happened and will happen.
Yeah.
And then one last thing here in the physical world. This post on Reddit that has popped up it came up yesterday, about Brazil. Poor Brazil, this is not going to work.
Brazil is not going to work. We are canceling it. We
no,
are starting
I meant
a new
the,
one.
The freaking...
I know, it's just funny.
Hang on, I gotta...
Whatever your mystery sound is.
What? No, I've gotta paste a duplicate. My cropping for everything else doesn't work for Chrome.
Oh. Weird.
Hang on. Let me fix this real quick. Whoa, that's not it. This one. Nope, that's not it. This one. Yes. Now I have to recrop. Excuse me. Sorry, technical difficulties. The glories. Of, the glories of live television, as it were.
Actually, this way, I guess. The delay completely kills all of that.
Okay, so here we go. We have a PPTQ in Rio de Janeiro. It says, we have lots of them almost every weekend, but not at $200, what? It says R dollars. I guess that means Brazilian money?
Yeah, I do not know what that was called.
It says, deck boxes was the top 4 prize. What? Wait, what is this picture? Oh, this picture is the note. Okay. Well, now, damn it. There we go. So this is we competitive MTG players from Rio. Total disapproval and protest regarding the PP2Q event. Okay, so an entry fee of $200 for a standard PPTQ, but the minimum wage is $954, and that's per month, according to comments later on in the Reddit post.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a week and a half's worth of entry fee, which is ridiculous. Let's see here. The price was even higher than the entry fee for GP Sao Paulo's main event. Buh. This is not only that, but during the past few weeks, said store offered a spot on the PPTQ to whoever won their regular tournaments, such as Friday Night Magic and Standard Showdowns. Which, can they do that?
They did? guess we'll find out. I don't know what the criteria are for rewarding that at this point. I haven't played as much attention to the rules of, you know, that end of things.
Hmm.
I thought that things like that had more strict rules, but I don't know.
So, yeah, essentially, this is some nonsense that's going on in Brazil, and the undersigned Brazilian players here really, really hate it and think that it's probably against policy and compromise. Well, to our understanding, all of these actions compromise the integrity and transparency of this tournament. So this is all terrible. And they're hoping that they said they've already emailed Wizards of the Coast, but they're hoping to drum up some public outcry about it, like you do.
I mean, that does tend to be what
works on Wizards
lately.
Yeah. So yeah, give this a read, and if you have any questions, I did, and they were all answered in the Reddit thread below it. So yeah, poor Brazil, man. They really just can't catch a break with anything magic related.
Okay, so under PPTQs, formats for preliminary Pro Tour qualifiers vary by location, can be one of the following: standard, sealed deck, top 8, booster draft, playoff, or a playoff with sealed decks using Swiss rounds. Check your local organizer for full details. So it's probably more spelled out in the longer form than what I'm finding on the page.
Oh, Pinball Witch says the Brazilian dollar is called a real. Ah, okay. That's real. Excuse me. Cool, thank you.
Real. Okay. So did I mean, you find... we're not going to get names right. There's no way we're getting other things right.
That's true, yeah. So did you find anything else?
It's like I'm digging, but I have a feeling this is going to be on the organized play side, and I don't have that up immediately.
Yeah. Either way, if this is in fact all horribly wrong, then Wizards will step in and...
I'm sure we'll hear more about this one way or another.
Yeah, drop the banhammer or something.
Yeah. Especially in the march up to actual PTQs.
Yeah.
We'll keep you updated as we hear more, because that's messed up, if true.
Yeah, it is. Okay, then. So that's it for the normal paper magic side of things. You got anything in Magic Online, Bill?
Just a bug blog update that I find entertaining, so here we are. Just as a reminder, every few weeks they put out bug blog updates, which go over what's not working properly. When you're playing Magic Online, if someone exploits a bug for an advantage, you should report them for cheating. If you are running any of the cards that are bugged and you accidentally get an advantage from it, someone might report you for cheating, so pay attention to what they are and then don't do those things. The main reason that I wanted to share this one today is because the very first one under General, Animar, Soul of Elements, can cause slowdown with an excessive amount of counters on it.
I wonder if that's related to their new counters system.
Probably, considering Animar's been around for a while.
Yeah.
But I really like excessive amount of counters. Like, not a set number, just excessive.
Look, if you put 400,000 counters on your Animar, you're going to have a bad time.
Eventually, you just create a new cryptocurrency right there on the spot, and it's like, ah! Your hardware gives up. That's great. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, you get a counter every time you cast a creature spell. If your deck is comboing out, it's going to combo out really hard. Pretty funny. Just while I've got it up, Gruesome Menagerie can cause multiple creatures of the same converted mana cost to be targeted in some instances. Well, that's just a mistake. It's supposed to be a 1, then a 2, then a 3.
Oh, okay. Whoops.
So that's just a mistake.
In some instances. Okay.
I love the vagueness of these things.
Yeah.
It's like due to reasons, due to issues.
Yeah. Duh, due to issues. God, due that was issues, great.
Yeah. If during the resolution of invert and vent, a split card that is both a sorcery and an instant is chosen, the second card cannot be selected. So that's just normal coding problem.
So wait, search your library for an instant card and or a sorcery card. Ah, so if you pick one of those split cards that's both, then that is both.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, it's just a code error.
And that was on invent, not invert, but, you know, give him a break.
Did I say invert?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. It's almost like they picked two cards that are almost the same for names and made them one card.
Right.
So, zones that cards appear in due to the replacement ability of Shared Fate are incorrect. Mostly mentioning that because it's Brian's fault.
Damn it, Brian.
Yeah.
And my Manapool co-host Brian loves Shared Fate with all of his being because he's a horrible person.
Well,
for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, I can imagine how Magic Online makes that a more interesting experience. And finally, Vance's Blasting Cannons does not see a card you cast that is owned by an opponent for its trigger.
Hmm. The card pop-up isn't working, probably because of the apostrophe.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's bringing it. The link does, though. So at least the card itself
does not see a card you cast that is owned by an opponent for its trigger.
But whenever you cast your third spell this turn, you can transform it.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how you would cast something an opponent owns, but that's actually fairly common these days. Like, you may cast it without paying its mana cost or whatever.
Yeah, they're becoming more common.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Well, there you go then.
Screw you, Animar.
Excessive.
Like, Commander games on Magic Online aren't slow enough.
You see, the new trick is to actually just destroy your opponent's computer by DDoSing them with counters. That is now the strategy. Don't do that.
Do not do that.
Don't do any of these things. Be aware, report people if they cheat, help make Magic Online successful. And that's all our news.
Yeah, looks like it's all we got.
Yeah. So we'll go into the end now. So you can find me on Twitter at SweetGoblinNabob. There's no Y in Goblin because it's probably out voting or something right now. I hope so. It better be voting. And you guys should also vote. Like, really, we said at the start of the show, it is important to vote. If you are legally allowed to vote and in the U.S., you should do it. If you're legally allowed to vote in the U.S. and not in the U.S., you should go ahead and mail that in now if you haven't already. Do everything you can to make your voice heard.
Donovan Bain asked, did it vote aye?
You are not supposed to ask someone what they vote for. It is rude. So I have not asked the aye who or what it voted for. But I hope that it voted for democracy. Yeah. And, yeah, that's pretty much all that I got right here. I finally finished watching Iron Fist after not really putting it off, just being really busy for the last 2 months and not realizing Daredevil was sneaking up on me. I guess now I get to watch season 3 of Daredevil and then be almost out of Netflix since they just canceled Luke Cage and Iron Fist. That's awkward. But who knows? We'll see what the future holds. Maybe we'll get Heroes for Hire. Live the dream.
I mean, I still haven't gotten through Luke Cage season 2. It just hasn't hooked me like basically every other Marvel Netflix show has. Like, all within, like, 3 episodes, I've been like, oh, I gotta finish this. But with Luke Cage, I think the next one I need to watch is either 5 or 6. And I'm like, eh.
The best Luke Cage episodes are, like, in the 8 or 9-ish area. You'll know them when you see them.
Gotcha.
I won't spoil any of it for you, but you'll know them when you see them.
Good to know.
But it's also just one of those things where it's unfortunate that, I think Iron Fist finally figured out where it needed to be by the end of its series. So unfortunately, then they decided to cancel it. But maybe we'll get Heroes for Hire and that'd be awesome. We'll see. Other than that, I don't really have anything else. So I'll give it to Phantom Clues. Phantom Clues tells you to go vote. Okay. Thanks, Phantom Clues. I'll give it to Chewy.
Thanks, Phantom Clues. Okay. So, if you want to find more of my stuff, then of course there's Monday Night Magic, which you're listening to.
Yeah.
There is the Mana Pool, recorded right here on Twitch every Thursday night, for the most part. And of course over on youtube.com/themanapool, I've got videos of the Messenger going up. Video, let's see, the TMP Nerf Report covering the recent balance changes in Hearthstone. I opened 46 packs of Eternal before I had any idea anything about Eternal. That's up on the YouTube channel. That sounds funny in its own way. What's that?
That sounds funny for later to go back and watch when you know better.
Man, even just like the couple weeks later, watching it through for editing, I was like, oh my God. Like, oh, that was, oh, I'm dumb. Oh.
Well, that means you're getting better.
Yeah, yeah. Like, one of the big finishers in control decks in Eternal is a weapon that is 8 attack with 8 armor. And I was like, this seems kind of dumb. And people are like, no. This is, like, a major thing in Constructed. I'm like, oh. Okay. Here I thought it was a big, dumb Timmy weapon. Nope, it's a spike weapon. Well, damn.
All right, then.
So, that's a thing. But all of that is what's going on YouTube right now. Coming soon, there's another Slay the Spire, daily climb run that I did where I actually drafted my deck. That's new. That was cool. And yeah. There's a Hearthstone getting a golden warlock. I haven't figured out how to edit that together yet, but hey, I got a golden warlock. And it took...
Sing the song.
Sing what song?
Da 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 da.
I got a golden warlock.
In your hand.
Now the golden warlock is in your face.
Oh, well, I don't want it there.
Exactly. But anyway, yeah, that's all stuff that is going up or will be going up soon over on youtube.com/themanapool. Right here on twitch.tv/themanapool, there's been... Let's see, what's gone up here? What have I streamed here? You know what? I can just look. I have that capability.
We have the technology.
Let's see, we streamed the Nerf Report, the Golden Warlocks, some Eternal. I'm doing a sealed league in Eternal. And doing pretty well. I'm currently 18-12, which considering I've only been playing Eternal for like a month and change, I'm pretty proud of myself.
60% success.
Pinball Witch threw a bit and says, cheer and support Chewy. He's worth it, I promise. Aw.
Because you're worth it, too.
And I also streamed some Dead Island. You remember that game?
That was a while ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was 3 days ago as far as the stream goes, but...
We were young then.
Yeah, we were.
So foolish. So
Dead Island is a first-person zombie-killing RPG, because it's totally an RPG. You've got weapon stats and side quests. It's an RPG. But it's a zombie game that takes place, the first chapter anyway, is outside on the beach in a tropical paradise. And there are all these undead things trying to eat your face. So unlike zombie games at the time, because when did Dead Island come out?
Bit ago.
Dead Island release date came out in 2011.
Yeah.
And this is the definitive edition I'm playing on Steam, which came out, I think, in 2016. But it's a, at the time, it was completely new because all the zombie games were dark and creepy. And they're like, nope, look, we're on the beach and there are zombies coming to eat you. Yay.
Like, can you imagine if you just hit a beach when you were playing Left 4 Dead or something? You'd be like,
You'd be like, well,
open,
especially in broad daylight. You'd be like, I don't understand.
Is there a boat I should be getting on? Because like when we went to the beach, it was nighttime and scary.
Yeah,
very different.
So yeah, I streamed some of that. I want to stream some more because I love that game because it's a first person RPG that it like even despite its age, it still feels really good. Like there's a type of zombie called infected who stand way over there and they see you and they go, ah! And then they just charge at you full speed. And if you can see them coming, they're fine. You know, you throw a weapon at them or something and when it makes contact, you get the slowdown where they pitch forward and usually they'll land right at your feet. So you just reach down and pick your weapon up, which is great. But if you don't see where they're coming from, they're the most terrifying thing ever.
Yeah.
And later, when you get better with the weapons, like especially once you get a sword, when they're running at you, you can wait until they're right in front of you and swing your sword at head level and actually decapitate them. And you get that slowdown when you kill a zombie that is, oh, it's just so satisfying. Yeah. So yeah, Eternal, Hearthstone, Dead Island, podcasts. These are all things that have been streamed lately. I really want to play another scary game. Since Halloween is coming up, I'm thinking Layers of Fear, which is terrifying. And yes, Cap, we should play Killing Floor. You are correct. Yes.
Factual statement.
But, yeah, I'm thinking Layers of Fear, which is another of those walking simulator games where horrifying crap happens. And this one I've seen some of, and it made me jump while I was watching. so I can't imagine playing it. So I think that's what I'll be streaming for an actual creepy game. Yeah. But anyway. So that's right here on twitch.tv/themanipool. Now, of course, you can find me on social media at the Manipool. On Twitter is the main way. There's also a Facebook page. And there's themanipool.com for the podcast. Yeah. But if you want to help support what I do, there are a variety of ways. I have hiccups. Why do I always get hiccups right at this point?
Karma.
So it's probably karma. There are a variety of ways. The easiest and least expensive of which is to spread the word. If you like enjoy the podcast, this one or the other one, tell people. Or, hey, you should check out this stream. Or, hey, there's this video, or share, whatever. Because that helps immensely with growing the audience, whether you throw it on Reddit or share it on Twitter or whatever. That really does help, and anyone can do it. And so if you really want to help...
Manipool exposure.
Yes. If you want to help financially, then you can become a lifeguard on patreon.com/themanipool, where you can get a variety of perks. The uncommon lifeguards get a silver name in the Manipool Discord server. Oh yeah, there's a Manipool Discord server that you should totally go join. We've cracked 100 people.
And then
people
get a silver
down.
Name.
Yeah, and you get a silver name. Well, you get a white name if you're just white, black. I forgot what color it is.
Common.
Yeah, you just get a white name if you just join. What was that? What pinball witch threw a bit and says, just pick people up and throw them in the Manipool. Exactly. Make sure their phone's not in their pocket. Just saying. Uncommon lifeguards. Like I said, get a silver name in the, Discord server and get access to YouTube videos and the Manipool episodes early. The rare lifeguards get a golden name. Ooh, in the Discord server, get the early stuff and get access to the odds and ends. All the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that is uncensored and unfiltered. And you can hear clues, for instance, on this week's, odds and ends. Yeah. And if you want to go a level above that, you can become a mythic lifeguard. Get the mythic orange name in the Discord server and get the early stuff, the odds and ends, and the shout-out on both podcasts and your name on the Insulate for all the YouTube videos that go up each month you support at that tier. Also, you can subscribe on Twitch. That gets you a purple name in the Discord server. Because Twitch, purple, see?
Mm-hmm. Meh.
So, with all that in mind, I would like to thank the Mythic Lifeguards, Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Lance Delicious, Team You Hell Is Are You, Connor Kennedy, John Morris, Jeff Spencer, Stuart Slaw, PJ McMullen, Bosco Bertain, Casey, Fayan Says, Danny Liao, Jason Doan, Cody Buckowing, Jake Jansons, Jason Kaus, Gothic Man, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Keith Moody, John Parker, Violet Moon, Dan Holm, Bartle, Mike Millerburn, and the Beast Father, Aaron Goodwine. Thank you all so very much for your support. I quite literally could not do it without you. And with that, I do believe we're done with Monday Night Magic number 628, right?
I believe so, yes.
Excellent. So, I screwed it up because this is where I usually go. So, this has been Monday Night Magic number 628.
This has been what you just listened to / watched.
Correct. Oh, Bill's frozen. Hang on, let me click this again. There we go. Bill is unfrozen. My bad.
My ventriloquism, no!
So thank you all so very much for listening or watching, and go play some magic!